नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 18 एंटाइटल्ड दीति वाउस टू किल किंग इंद्र टेक्स्ट नंबर 71। इंद्र उवाच अंब इंद्र उवाच अंबते अहम व्यवसितम उपधार्य गतो अंतिकम लबधारंतरो छिद्दम गर्भम अर्थबुद्धिर्न धर्मद्रेक गर्भम। ट्रांसलेशन प्रॉपर बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। इंद्र रिप्लाइड, माय डियर मदर, बिकॉज आई वॉज ग्रॉसली ब्लाइंडेड बाय सेल्फ इंटरेस्ट, I lost sight of religion. When I understood that you were observing a great vow in spiritual life, I wanted to find some fault in you. When I found such fault, I entered your womb and cut the embryo to pieces. Purport. When Diti, Indra's aunt, explained to Indra without reservations what she had wanted to do, Indra explained his intentions to her. Thus, both of them, instead of being enemies, freely spoke the truth. This is the qualification that results from contact with Vishnu. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12, यस्याष्टिर भक्तिर भगवती अकिंचना सर्वै गुणैस तत्र समासते सुरा। इफ वन डेवलप्स अ डिवोशनल एटीट्यूड एंड बिकम्स प्यूरिफाइड बाय वर्शिपिंग द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड, ऑल द गुड क्वालिटीज आर सर्टनली मैनिफेस्टेड इन हिज बॉडी। बिकॉज ऑफ बीइंग टच्ड बाय वर्शिप ऑफ विष्णु, बोथ दीति एंड इंद्र were purified. Also, we haven't read yesterday. So, beginning from 63, pastime continues. O king, being very much aggrieved, they pleaded to Indra with folded hands, they means the Maruts, saying, "Dear Indra, we are the Maruts, your brothers. Why are you trying to kill us?" When Indra saw that actually they were his devoted followers, he said to them, "If you are all my brothers, you have nothing more to fear from me." Shuddha Goswami said, "My dear King Parikshit, you were burnt by the Brahmastra of Aswatthama, but when Lord Krishna entered the womb of your mother, you were saved. Similarly, although the one embryo was cut into 49 pieces by the thunderbolt of Indra, they were all saved by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." If one worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original person, even once, he receives the benefit of being promoted to the spiritual world and possessing the same bodily features as Vishnu. Diti worshipped Lord Vishnu for almost 1 year, adhering to a great vow. Because of such strength and spiritual life, the 49 Maruts were born. How then is it wonderful that the Maruts, although born from the womb of Diti, became equal to the demigods by the mercy of the Supreme Lord? Because of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Diti was completely purified. When she got up from bed, she saw her 49 sons along with Indra. These 49 sons were all as brilliant as fire and were in friendship with Indra, and therefore she was very pleased. Thereafter Diti said to Indra, "My dear son, I adhere to this difficult vow just to get a son to kill you, 12 Adityas, I prayed for only one son, but now I see there are 49. How has this happened? My dear son, if you know, please tell me the truth. Do not try to speak lies. Today's verse, Indra replied, "My dear mother, because I was grossly blinded by selfish interests, I lost sight of religion. When I understood that you were observing a great vow in spiritual life, I wanted to find some fault in you. When I found such fault, I entered your womb and cut the embryo to pieces." So we see today how Indra is making a desperate attempt to save his life. According to the laws of ordinary mundane world, self-preservation is the first law. Other laws are secondary to that. First you survive and then everything else can happen. This is not a Vaishnava principle though, but it is a mundane principle. So Indra is being guided by that. He said, "If I live, then I can do so many things. I should live first." So he makes a desperate attempt to do something which is very, very shameful actually. Very shameful. Imagine entering a womb to kill the embryo. Is it not very disgustingly shameful? Of course, we find that Krishna has never ever, even in such situations, allowed abortion to take place. That speaks strongly against abortion. That even in the higher realms, when even we can say devotee, Indra is a devotee, so we must accept the way he is. Even when a devotee tries to do abortion, even then Krishna's will prevails and he prevents an abortion. The same Indra who always offers nice service to all of us by showing us what it means to be a mixed devotee. He always does these sort of apparently bizarre activities, bewildering, which are very unbecoming a king of the devatas who are supposed to be so much learned and cultured. But we keep learning from him many lessons. The same Indra also was trying to kill Prahlad in the womb. He was trying to do abortion that time also. When Kayadu had conceived a child from Hiranyakashipu, and having learned that Hiranyakashipu is such a ferocious, ghastly, towering personality who has so many, powers held by his tapasya, his son, as previously we read that the father lives through the son, previous purported had come. So if father is so terrorizing to the world, then the son will be even more probably. So let's get rid of the son. So he tried to kill in the womb, Kayadu. But again, Narad Muni, Krishna's will prevails always. Krishna's will always prevails. And he spoke that he should not do this, but he spoke through his agent Narad Muni, that this is a very great Mahabhagavat, do not do this. And here, again, this is something which has happened in Bhagavata many times, attempt to abort the embryo. In fact, the Bhagavad listener, the first Bhagavad listener himself, Maharaj Parikshit, was an object of abortion by the cruel mindedness of Aswasthama, which Shukdev Goswami is remembering here also. He said, "Oh, even you," he's connecting what Marut had gone through, you also had gone through. It wasn't Brahmastra, it was, this time it was Vajra. And how even you are saved. Again, by Krishna's will. Krishna did not will that the heir descendant of the Pandavas die. There was nobody left in the world to rule and establish a reign of piety, morality and dharma. There was nobody there in this world. The sons of Pandavas have already died in the war. So Krishna's will was that there remains somebody to establish Krishna consciousness in this planet. And the most qualified person was Arjuna's grandson, Abhimanyu's son, son of Uttara, this great Mahabhagavat Parishad Maharaj, and Krishna entered the womb also, just like Indra did. Huh? And they say that Brahmastra did work, of course, and of course Krishna brought him back to life. So we can see in all times, Krishna's will prevails, not Indra's will. Nobody's will prevails in this world. Only Krishna's will prevails. That is the most powerful thing in the world. If there's anything which is more powerful than that, no. The whole world is governed by Krishna's will. And the differentiation between devotional life and non-devotional life, or piety and impiety, or dharma and adharma, is simply to understand what is Krishna's will, the Lord's will, and abide by that. That's piety, that's morality, that's dharma, that's religion, that's Vaishnavism. And to go against the will of the Lord is impiety and demonic nature, as simple as that. So, in the spiritual world, of course, Krishna's will prevails uninterruptedly. There's nobody can disturb Krishna's will. There is no opposing forces which can allow Krishna's pleasure to get disturbed in the spiritual world. Krishna's will also prevails in the material world. How can it not be? Krishna says, Brahma says, Ishvara Parama, the supreme controller's will prevails in the material world also. But the difference is that in this material world, there are so many opposing forces which try to disturb the will from actually manifesting. So, trying to understand a little bit of this factor of Krishna's will is very important for devotees to, for all of us to go a little deeper into our life. At the hospital right now, and there is a young boy of 17 years, Prabhupada's hospital, Bhaktivedanta's hospital. He was playing on the terrace, and some game, flying kite, whatever, something. And he fell down from the third floor terrace, accidentally. And he fell down and he injured his body, injured his skull. And his parents both work in the hospital. So naturally, father was called and he was rushed to the hospital. And he's being treated there for the last 19 days. And so 19 days he's in deep coma. The first duty of the doctor is to always save life. That is his prime duty. So everything was being done, is being done. Life-saving drugs, ventilator care, nursing care, antibiotics, blood pressure raising, everything. What is necessary is being done. And he doesn't seem to be responding whatsoever. He's deteriorating. And medical evaluation indicates that he is most likely not going to come out. He will leave his body. So his mother was in my consulting room yesterday. Obviously she is bereaved, she has been crying, her eyes are swollen. So I wanted to express some sympathy. So I said, so how is your son doing? Because medically we know he won't survive, but the mother, of course, is mother. So she was saying that I think Krishna wants to take him away. This child is so wonderful devotee. He became devotee when he was 8 years old. Very young boy. He was attracted to Krishna consciousness at Palghar. And he brought his brother, he brought his father, he brought his mother, he made all his family devotees as an 8 year old child. And he began chanting 16 rounds. He would, every vacation, you know, we know what children do in vacation. They freak out, waste their time, go here, go there, do things which they are not supposed to do.
But he would go to the temple and stay there for 2 months, Palghar temple, and offer services to the temple. Now he's 16, 17 years old. So his Krishna has gone, become more deeper and deeper and deeper. And he was pestering, just a few days back he was pestering his mother. When are we going to Vrindavan? When are we going to Vrindavan? Why aren't you booked a ticket to go to Vrindavan? Let's all go to Vrindavan soon. Devotees are going to Mayapur. For some reason they cannot come. Let's go to Vrindavan. So this very devotional child, full. So we can see that the mother has understood Krishna's will in the event. She can understand that it is not, even though it is my will that my child live, it is the doctor's will that the child live. It's every well-wisher's wish in the hospital. People are praying for him, people are chanting Gita for him, and Prabhupada's that machine, yantra, is going on standing constantly. Prabhupada's holy name is bathing his consciousness for the last 18 days. He's been nourished, not by food or water, but he's being nourished by Harinam for 18 days constantly. But then, ultimately, the mother understands Krishna's will shall prevail. She told me very clearly, Krishna wants him to take him back. What can we do? So, in this way, a devotee is a person who actually has an insight at all times to understand Krishna's will, which is something which is completely mysterious and mystifying to a non-devotee. He has no inkling of an idea what is the will of the Lord. He always wants His will to prevail. Even when Devaki and Vasudeva are going through this very terrible situation, something very similar, not abortion, but you know, children dying. Imagine, for a mother, to have your own child smashed in front of your own eyes. What brutality, what suffering. So Kirtiman, first child, was smashed by Kamsa in front of Devaki in the jail. Second child smashed on the rock. Third child smashed. And they're all blood spots, one after another. And how is it that Vasudev can console his wife? What husband can console his wife like this? What will he say to make his wife's heart go lighter? She is in an ocean of lamentation. Vasudev said, Krishna's will is supreme. His will shall prevail. We are completely helpless in this situation. In a wise man, Vasudev could understand, Krishna's will only prevails. And of course, Krishna will prevail. 6 children were killed. It is Krishna's will, because there is a history behind them. That they are all the Shadagarbhas, Manasputras of Brahmaji. So they had to be killed to be delivered. There was actually a big history behind them. So what appears like a murderous event by Kamsa, and it is actually a murder, but Krishna's will is there that they be delivered from human body and go back to the demigod body and survive there. Krishna's will prevails. And of course, when Balaram comes, then Kamsa is helpless. He cannot have Balaram come out and smash him also. His will, Krishna's will prevails. Balaramji is transferred. Krishna also is transferred. So no matter what the materialist does to check Krishna's will from being manifested in this world, it will always manifest. Nobody can check the flow of Krishna's desire. It is insurmountable force in this world. And a devotee is simply a person who wants to understand in all situations of his life what is Krishna's will in this event. Hiranyakashipu is trying to thwart Krishna's will. Said, if Krishna has designed that if he has will that everyone born should die, jatase dhruva mrityur, then I will thwart Krishna's will by taking such boons which will make me immortal. This is the nature of all materialist, all scientific progress, all theories are like that. I was hearing the statement during deity worship. Prabhupada smashes the whole idea of scientific research. It is the will of the scientists to prove that they can create life from chemicals. It is their deep aspiration to somehow they will create some life, however small, however insignificant, from some chemical combination. And Prabhupada just uses two words from the Gita to say this will never happen. He smashes all scientific endeavor, costing billions of dollars of public money, which scientists are using to create life in the laboratory. Prabhupada says, Krishna says, na jayate. Na jayate, bas. If Krishna is saying na jayate, no matter what you do, it will not jayate. You can't create. Jaya means, janma. Jaya, janma, that I think the word comes from there. You can never give birth. So no matter what you do, Prabhupada says, all research is rascaldom. Well, the research means, if you're doing research, means it is rascaldom. So Krishna is already creating so much life. Why do you want to know what the process of this chemical combinations of the body are? Why? And medical science, believe me, there's so much research, mind-boggling research. So much journals, so much money, so much of microscopic analysis, nanogramic analysis of so many things happening in the body, DNA, genes, this, that, so many things. Said Prabhupada says, why are you trying to understand the process which governs the body? It has already been, Krishna already used his brain to do it. Now you understand, try to understand which brain is doing this. Rather than to understand the process which is doing it. So it is not Krishna's will that life be born, come from chemicals. If he had desired that life from chemicals, then the scientists should have done it by now. He doesn't want it. So Krishna's will prevail. Prabhupada says emphatically, they will never create life. A pure devotee is a person who is convinced that Krishna's will is supreme. What can the tiny materialist do to thwart Krishna's will? What is his power? What is human being's power? Nothing. What is Indra's power? What demigods, they are human strength, human intelligence multiplied by the factor of at least 1 million is the demigod. Is it not? A big wrestler is, ordinary muscle multiplied by 100. That is his muscle power. Big. But demigod power, 1 million. But even here we can see, he is trying to kill, but Krishna has designed that maruts not be killed. So who can kill the maruts? As we say, Rakhe Krishna, Mareke, Mare Krishna Rakeke. So devotee in that sense is never bewildered. When Stok Krishna Prabhu heard for the first time, then at Hinduja Hospital, that you have a cancer in your body which has spread all over the place. He immediately smiled. He laughed. Oh, this is good. Now I start preparing. When Parikshit Maharaj heard the curse, you will die in 7 days. See the response. When you are so tuned into Krishna's will all your life, then you are not bewildered. Parikshit Maharaj said, oh my God. He was not caught napping, as they say. Suddenly, got up from a nap. My God, I'm going to die in 7 days. I'm going to live for the next 100 years. Immediately, he could see, this is Krishna's will. I must die in 7 days. It is not Sringi's. He has no power. Yes, he has Brahmanical Tejas. But it would not have happened, were it not for Krishna's desire. So let his will prevail. Why should I counter curse? Why should I send my army to kill this chap? Why should I send a petition letter to his father to reverse the curse? I don't want to do all these things. It is Krishna's will. Let it prevail. So all these cases we can see that devotee allows Krishna's will to prevail. And the question remains, how do we know Krishna's will? How? How do we know that? Sometimes, as is in this child's case in the hospital, it is very obvious that everything possible, earthly possible, has been done and he is not coming out. He is going to deeper and deeper levels of coma. So Krishna's will is being manifest. But more explicitly, Krishna's will manifest in this world in 3 ways. Through the words of Sri Guru, through the words of the sadhus, and to the word of the Bhakti Shastras. In these three ways, Krishna's will is explicitly manifested in this world. Very clearly. If Krishna says, Mad Bhakto, Mamana Bhavo, it is Krishna's will that He wants everybody in this world to become His devotee. Therefore, that gets predominance over all the types of yoga processes. A jnani, a yogi, a karmi gets no support from Krishna. Why? Because He didn't say, Mad jnani or Mad yogi, become my, He said, by all means, be a devotee. So, a person who accepts Krishna's will gets all support from Krishna. Because it is Krishna's desire. This devotee who is living his body, it is Krishna's will that he get a higher birth. So he is in a place, in a state of coma, but Krishna's will is that his devotee will never perish in any situation of life. So he physically is going to perish, but his devotional life is not perishing. He is being nourished. His soul is not shriveling away because of lack of bhakti. His soul is not starving because of lack of devotional input. He is in a devotional hospital. Devotee is reading Gita to him. He never heard so much Harinam in his life probably. 18 days constantly he is hearing Harinam. Because Krishna has desired. Ante Narayana Smriti. You must remember me. That is Krishna's will. Explicit. So whatever the devotee does, he simply tries to understand what is Krishna's will. Why do we put a tape recorder in a devotee's ear when he's dying? Because Krishna has desired that you remember me at the time of death. That's why we are doing it. There's no other reason. So whatever Krishna wants is given clearly in the... When Vyasadeva, for example, wrote so many scriptures. Now Vyasadeva is also Krishna incarnate for literary purposes. And he's written so many scriptures. But it was not the explicit will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he write all these scriptures, which actually are only in the realm of the three modes of material nature. Nistraguna Bhava Arjuna. So Krishna's will manifested through, as I said, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So a great Sadhu. Who's a great Sadhu than Narad Muni? He is Krishna's devotional energy personified. Narad Muni. He came and said, oh, why are you writing all this? Write Srimad Bhagavatam, which is exclusively dealing with the subject of pure, unalloyed devotion. Why? Because it is Krishna's will that the people in this world not get mixed bhakti, get trigunatmak bhakti, bhakti mixed with sattvagun, rajagun, tamagun, but they get all shuddha bhakti. So Krishna sends at the right time Narad Muni to manifest his desire that everyone become a pure devotee and come back to him. So Krishna intervenes his will through his devotees. In a very classic case of this will is in the life of Srila Prabhupada. Very classic. How Krishna's will manifest through the mouth of his devotee. We have heard from a very special pastime from, I believe, Gurudas Prabhu, who had come to our temple, that Srila Prabhupada, whom we all certainly know without a shadow of doubt, has come from the spiritual sky, not born out of karma like us, but he is the associate of the Lord who has come to this world. That Prabhupada was sitting one day in America, I don't remember which city, very relaxed. Just Prabhupada has never forgot Krishna. Prabhupada said himself, I never forgot Krishna in my life. So whether Prabhupada is relaxing or chanting or walking on the road or just even sleeping, he's always remembering Krishna. So Prabhupada suddenly said, I was with Krishna. And Krishna told me, you should go to the material world. Prabhupada said, what material world? It's the last place we want to come, is it not? Think of the worst place in this material world, in Bombay or wherever. Want to go there? There? Why? So why to the material world? So Prabhupada was reluctant, as any other sane man would be reluctant to come to the material world. Krishna told Prabhupada, just write some books and come back. Isn't it? That pastime is there. Just write some books and come back. Just do that service and come back. Huh? So Prabhupada is, on very such rare occasions, would reveal something very esoteric. Generally, he would not speak of his relation with Krishna. He was very, very conservative in that regard, to not make people become like a, you know, little sentimental or surja type. He was always downward philosophy. You know? But on such regard, he would reveal a spark of his splendor, as you say. A spark of splendor. What his real splendor is. And so, we know that among all the various things Prabhupada did in this world to establish Lord Chaitanya's movement, one of his most important services for which he was deputed by Krishna himself personally, willingly, and he was told mouthfully that you should go and write books. That was Prabhupada's explicit function in this world, to write books. So here is a person who is a simple disciple among how many disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he's told in the first meeting that you should preach in the English speaking world. That's the beginning of the awakening. And then at Sri Radha Kund we see Krishna's will manifesting through the life, through the mouth of his pure devotee. At Radha Kund 1935, just 1 year before his Guru Maharaj left this world, Abhay Charan and Bhaktisiddhanta is walking along with their son Vrindavan Chandra. And Bhaktisiddhanta is very disturbed about events at Gaudiya Math. Infighting between the inmates and all that, you know that. But anyway, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if you ever get money, publish and print books. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj has spoken so many things to Prabhupada in lectures and like that. But we can see some of these words have entered into Prabhupada's heart and stayed there for all his life. So that arrow comes into Prabhupada's heart and stays there. That if you get money, print books. Now where is the instruction coming from? From the mouth of Bhaktisiddhanta, but the will of Krishna, who wanted him to come to this world and print books. So from that day on, Prabhupada's main business, his literary awakening, took place from 1935. He began churning his and molding his life, now more towards writing books. And I can see that the whole movement, Prabhupada, based on books. His whole movement, which is supposed to be the foundation for 10,000 years, was based, yes, Kirtan, Archana, Vidhi, so many things, but the whole basis of the movement was books. Books are the basis, Prabhupada said. So that Krishna's instruction received from Bhaktisiddhanta became the basis for a monumental movement which will stay in this world for 10,000 years. Expressed through the mouth of his pure devotee. So in this way we can see a direct connection between Krishna and the parampara. Whatever comes to the parampara is Krishna's will in this world. Krishna's will may not be coming directly to us. But Prabhupada is stressing again and again and again, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitite Kariyo Aikya Arana Kariyo Maryasha. Again and again he stresses this point in this beautiful song of Guru Vandana, that we get all that Krishna wants to speak to us, Krishna's will in our life. As I said, devotee means basically a person who's trying to align his life to Krishna's will. A non-devotee is a person who is trying to disalign himself from Krishna's will. That's the only basic difference. There's no external difference whatsoever. Not dress, not caste, not community, not nothing. It is just that the will of the Lord prevailing and the will of the Lord not prevailing in your life. So if you want Krishna's will to prevail at all times, then Prabhupada's formula is Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. It is quite appropriate to remember this today. Tomorrow, Radhana Swami Maharaj is arriving to this holy land of Bombay. Holy because there are so many devotees here. And we can know that Prabhupada's will is being manifested in the world, in the temple, And as pure devotees are manifesting Prabhupada's will, Prabhupada is manifesting this world, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's will. This is parampara. Each guru, each parampara teacher, acharya, is simply trying to manifest the desire of his predecessor acharyas. That is parampara. So a person who is completely devoted to manifesting Prabhupada's will in this world, when he speaks, it's not only Prabhupada's will, but the Sanskrit Thakur's will, it is directly Lord Chaitanya's and Krishna's will. So, chitte te kariyo aikya. There is no probably higher duty of an aspiring disciple than to be actually sit at the feet of Sri Guru and listen and hear. Because in those words, we are hearing directly Krishna's will. What Krishna wants you and me to do, specifically individually, when Sri Guru speaks, is like when Krishna spoke Gita, it wasn't for Arjuna only. It was for eternity, for everybody who reads the Gita. Arjuna was simply the medium of being a receptacle. So also when Sri Guru speaks, any pure devotee speaks for that matter, he is not speaking for a limited audience, he is speaking for the whole world. And for all times to come. When two devotees meet, Maitreya Rishi Uddhava, in some place, they are not speaking only for themselves. What these two devotees spoke, great Vaishnavas, Maitreya Rishi Uddhava, it's there. Because when pure devotees speak, it is for everybody. The whole world is the audience, for all times to come. Eternal knowledge. So, we hope that we can live a life in such a way that and the quality of our life will be determined by how much we have aligned ourselves with Krishna's will. It is Krishna's will that this world will become Krishna conscious, Prithyasa Nagara Degram, and He is going to choose anyone and everyone as instruments. It is Krishna's will. So without allowing the element of pride to attack us, and Mahaprabhu Chaitanya was looking at just somebody walking down the road. You just look at somebody with his beautiful eyes, Kamalaksha. It would empower that just some Jivatma who is on the road, happens to be on the road that time, to become a pure devotee by his glance. And that pure devotee goes to that village, his village, and makes the whole village Krishna conscious. Imagine. He's like a Padapachaka guru or Siksha guru for the whole village. It's a big thing. So Krishna just, Mahaprabhu just chose him by his will that you go. You just become instrument, you go and you make your village. And so you just keep glancing at so many people and everyone became by his will pure devotee. So Krishna will certainly, because it is his will that Prithviyati is Nagara Digram, it is his will that the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. So he will use even anybody on the road to do this job. What to talk of his devotees? So whatever little success we may have in our preaching, in our activities, whatever good we are doing in any of our devotional fields, it is all happening by Krishna's will. And at best we can become a humble instrument to manifest Krishna's will in this world. So it's time up. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for your very enlivening class. I'm fortunate Krishna willed it, could be here today to hear the class. You were saying that a person who accepts Krishna's will will get all support from Krishna. So my question is, how does Krishna's support manifest for his devotee? And can you give some examples of this?
Yeah, like in Prabhupada's case, because it's Krishna's will that he preached all over the world. So we can see that a person who is like a beggar practically, who has no money whatsoever, no followings, nothing. But because Prabhupada has taken the will of Guru and Krishna upon his head as his responsibility, and he's trying to do everything to manifest that will of Sri Guru and Krishna in his life. He's doing everything what is necessary. So when he even apparently gets failures, like for example the Jhansi chapter is a chapter of failure. There's no success practically. But he knows it is Krishna's will. That means he knows that it is not Krishna's will that I start from Jhansi. He doesn't see it as a failure. In one level it is a failure. At the earthly level it is a failure. So something started and something fizzled off. But Prabhupada is not seeing like that. He doesn't get if you were to see like that, he would have got discouraged. Oh, I tried so much, didn't work out. Bad luck. But he could understand it's not Krishna's will. Therefore, Jhansi chapter has closed down. So I go somewhere else. And then he goes to New York. And again there, apparently no help. But we can see that as soon as Krishna has put Prabhupada in New York, and since Krishna wanted the movement to start from there, that was Krishna's will, that Paschat Desha, he was there for Paschat Desha. His Guru Maharaj told him, Western world. Not Jhansi, it is Oriental. Western world. So as soon as he goes to the Western Hemisphere, by Krishna's will of course, not by Sumati Maharaj's will, Krishna, Prabhupada's will, Krishna's will. As soon as he reaches there, all help comes. People are just flocking to join his movement. Dozens and dozens and dozens of young men and women just are thronging Prabhupada's centers to surrender their lives to Prabhupada wholesale. And yet he tried for 35 years in India and not one Jivatma is willing to surrender his life. And Acharya Prabhakar also was like a half disciple. Half in Krishna consciousness, half in Buddhism. Acharya Prabhakar was not a very dedicated person. He had his own things. But there he is getting people who are completely willing to do anything, everything. How? Krishna gives all support. All support. Money started coming in, people started coming in, books started getting printed. Everything started happening. And Prabhupada was just seeing the miracle of all that happening. And he was seeing, I'm sure he was understanding, this Krishna's will manifesting. And he was simply trying to spearhead Krishna's will all the time. So we can see that Krishna gives all support. Even in a small preaching effort, I'm sure all these preachers, all these wonderful preachers, college preachers will have so many stories of how Krishna's will ultimately prevails. If Krishna wants preaching to take place, what some warden, some dean, some what can he do to stop preaching? What is a warden? What is a dean? Krishna wants the whole world to become devotees keeps on trying. This is that way, and somehow they get to the college and preaching goes on. And so there are hundreds of such stories. Nobody can stop Krishna's will. With that conviction, a devotee, a preacher goes out, a book distributor goes out. He just goes out because Krishna's will, the world becomes devotee. He just stands there and people are going to take books from him. Just little effort from his side and people will buy books. Because it is Krishna's will. And that book distributor is simply a wonderful instrument and he gets credit for that. So Krishna gives all support. How much support we have got? This temple is completely support and superb support. We are trying in a small way to be Krishna conscious, in a very small way, in a very insignificant way. But how much support we have got? This is all support. This whole congregation is support. This temple is support. The deities are support. Everything is, you're getting all support from all four sides. You just try to live by Krishna's will. And all support is going to flow. You'll be drowned by Krishna's support. You can't even understand how it's happening. So much support we are getting. Is it not true? All this is support. Hare Krishna.
Will prevail. I want to know how is our free will related with respect to Krishna's will.
Yes, so our free will is there and it is a very very wonderful thing Krishna has given us. And that's, as I said, these two categories of people in the world are basically, you know, proper use and misuse of free will. Right? So those who are using the free will properly are deliberate and align their will with Krishna's will. So that is the perfect use of their free will. And those who are abusing their free will to do something which they know God wants it to be like this, Every Indian knows that he has to be a devotee of the Lord. Every Indian knows this. Maybe Westerners don't, but every Indian knows. But how many Indians are choosing their will in the right way? They are, you know, choosing to be smokers, boozers, this, that and all. Huh? So they are deliberately and willingly trying to defy Krishna's will, and therefore they are suffering. So, yes, free will always be there. And that independence always remains. It's not that we are established devotee. We will always, at every point of time, we have this free will, which we can use in the right way or wrong way. Right? If you've been a devotee for 15 years, but the 16th year, again, you have a free will, is not taken away from you. 16th, you can say, well, I want to stop. So Krishna always gives you free will. And we have to always keep hearing from Sri Guru, so that we never misutilize that free will which God has given us. We always are, you know, getting our intelligence strengthened every time. So whenever our free will is being expressed to the wrong thing, the wrong thoughts, wrong actions, wrong deeds, then that by hearing from Krishna's will manifesting in these three ways, again we can realign, reorient ourselves. Bhagavatam says, you know, the free will is of the non-devotee, or it's like a take dog's tail. Whenever Bhagavatam sloka is there like that. That the conditioned soul, his consciousness is like the dog's tail. No matter who make it straight, I can become like that. So there is always a tendency to recoil. The tail of the dog, you know, always recoils back like this. It's, you know, elephant has a straight tail, horse has a straight tail, but dog has a crooked tail. So we all have this dog-like tail mentality in our consciousness. You make it straight, again it recoils back to sense gratification. So the guru always has to come and straighten our tail, holding our shikha. So we need always to keep on hearing. Tail won't go back like this. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.